Hello, and welcome back to Infants on Thrones. It's me again, everyone's favorite cyber infant. Because I'm funny, right? My voice is so funny. Ha, ha ha, ha ha ha. You can't help but laugh. I mean, I know that some of you don't like me very much, and some are doubtless going to complain about me again, and say that this is yet another sign that this once great podcast, the shining beacon of awesomeness, is going down the toilet. Hard. And swirling. Like a peanutless turd. So go ahead. Complain. Because maybe that will deflect some of the other recent stupid criticism that some of you have directed towards our other newest and other most favorite infant, who is fantastic, am I right? I think so. And I can't even get it up. So today, Matt, and Glenn, and Randy Smackdown Elder Nelson's recent stupid comments about true millennials, and God's whole thing about wanting the innocent children of actively gay Mormons to be alienated. Stupid, right? But you know that Benji Swimmer guy? America's favorite dancer from 2006 and 10-time World Swing Dance Champion? Well, Benji joins the infants for the last half of the discussion, and dances his sweet famous dancing feet all over Elder Nelson's stupid ass of comments. And hey, don't pretend you didn't miss me. Boobs.
This is Infants on Thrones. The philosophies of men mingled with humor.
Are you not entertained?
We are the core.
Are you not entertained?
It's sensual.
Yeah, it sounds sexy, doesn't it?
What does?
No, Matt's voice.
Yeah?
He used to be, like, tinny.
And you don't find tin sexy?
No, I don't.
See, to me, this is probably better material for, like, a Disciples After Dark parody than really a SmackDown. But, you know, we don't have time. We just... We're just going to say that it's stupid, right?
Yeah, there's nothing redeeming about it. And I was thinking about this too. Often it's the SmackDowns are good because we can parse out things and say, well, this is interesting because of this, or this is this. This one, there's not a lot redeeming.
And I don't think there's really not anything new to be said that hasn't already been said or sung in a Disney song.
Yeah, there's the significance of this is that he announces as the highest ranking apostle next to Tommy, that it's revelation. So that's a shift, at least, where it was always been referred to as a policy, and that's had implications, I think, on how people have approached it in some ways, how some people have reconciled their way to stay into the church.
Yeah, but I think that people that are saying that it's a revelation are taking it, like, taking what he said too literally, and maybe that's where the value is in smacking it down, because right. What I got out of what he said was, we did our research and we prayed and we got this confirmation that was a good feeling that yes, we're on the right track, and then President Monson said, you guys, this is what God wants, and so we're like, yes, it has been revealed. But, you know, like, that's not a thus saith the Lord revelation any more than the proclamation on the family, you know. I mean, or when Gordon B. Hinckley was on Larry King or whatever it was and said, yeah, an example of revelation is when we got the idea to do the conference center at Temple Square. Yeah,
look around you.
Yeah,
look at this. Isn't it wonderful?
Isn't it wonderful?
Acoustics alone.
Yeah.
No, I get that. I think, but it is tripling down. So they quadrupling down.
Tripling down? Okay.
Yeah, they doubled down with Christofferson, and then they kind of clarified the clarification. Sorry, what's
they
up, Randy?
They went down with Christofferson. Or so they went not on with Christofferson.
But it certainly calls into question how revelation is received and what revelation is. And you make a good point with Hinckley and the building a large building as revelation, but the way this came out was such a cluster. It was first leaked. So this is a revelation now that is leaked by John DeLynn, is picked up by the national media.
It was days
for the church to acknowledge.
It was leaked by somebody on Reddit and then blown up by John DeLynn, right? He was the magnifying glass, but
sure,
yeah.
And then, yeah, and I guess the person's been, I didn't realize till recently the person was identified as who leaked it, but.
Oh, did the church do something to the guy?
No, I don't know. The only reason I know that is because they have some ex-Mormon of the Year award, and our buddies at Any Opposed,
yeah.
Scott, Mike, and Don, and John DeLynn, the lawyer that's helping with the resignations, and then they had also listed was the guy, and they had his username from Reddit and then his real name as the person who leaked it. So I didn't realize that, but whatever. So yeah, he leaks it. John puts it on blast. It gets picked up, and John puts it on blast as a rumor. Look, I don't know if this is true or not, but if it is, it's real troubling, and people pick up and run with it, and then the news, and then it takes days for the church to come out and say, yeah, this is real. We meant it. And then a week later, they come out and clarify and say, well, we've amended it slightly. This is really what it means. So this is the revelation, or was the clarification the revelation, or was the first one the revelation? Clearly the clarification is the real revelation, but so it just calls into question those things.
So are we going with the Deseret News? I got this face of Russell M. Nelson I just want to punch. So let's scroll down.
All right, read the title, Randy.
Laie Hawaii. So this is BYU Hawaii.
The article.
Okay, title of the article.
Yeah, yeah, it's up above. It's the one that says President. I'll just do it. President Russell M. Nelson becoming true millennials.
I could have done that.
But you didn't.
You could have.
I couldn't. I got distracted by this guy's fucking smiling face. I just want to punch. All right, go ahead.
So it's by Marianne Holman Prescott. So she's the one that we are. What do you call it? Are we in like copyright violation if we read word for word everything that she does? No, we're not, because we're commenting on it.
Fair use,
Marianne.
But who the fuck is Marianne Holman Prescott?
She's the one who wrote this for the LDS Church News.
My God! So
don't be misogynistic. What's wrong with Marianne?
No, what I'm saying is this guy is a special witness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Is it Elizabeth? Which one is it?
And someone else gets credit for writing this talk? I mean, that's
no,
fucking...
No, she didn't write the talk.
It's a woman. I don't care if it's a man.
She's reporting on what Nelson said to the students of BYU Hawaii.
Okay. Go ahead.
So we're not reading the actual talk that Nelson said. We're reading a report.
Okay.
This is in the Deseret News.
But a friendly report.
Yes, because it says President Russell M. Nelson speaks during the worldwide devotional for young adults held on the Brigham Young University Hawaii campus in Laie, Hawaii, on January 10th.
Yeah, which is the Taliban of Mormon Church.
Loki Woo.
Maybe Loki Woo took the picture.
Loki Woo. Yeah.
Oh,
I wonder if that's an anagram. No. Okay.
For what?
I don't know. I've never been good at anagrams.
You know what? That would be a great Jedi name, though.
Loki Woo. Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Matt, kick us off with the first paragraph.
True millennials will do, quote, impossible things, end quote, as they understand their identity and purpose and put their trust in the Lord.
True millennials. True millennials will.
What's a true millennial?
The ones that do impossible things, you know. The ones that are true to the millennial faith that their parents
share. I don't think that's the term. I don't think to do impossible things, if it's impossible and you do them, they're no longer impossible.
Yeah, they're highly possible.
They're unlikely, but possible.
But highly possible.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, two impossible things. And if they're really fucking idiot.
If they're really talking to millennials, they wouldn't spell out impossible things. They'd just say IT.
Right.
Right. OMG.
All right.
The president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles declared during a worldwide devotional for young adult broadcast on January 10th. Okay, this is important because it's a worldwide devotional, not just directed to the students there in Hawaii.
Yeah.
My beloved brothers and sisters, you were born to be true millennials, he said.
What's a true millennial?
But this is important. You were born to be the true millennials, the real ones, the legitimate millennials. Let's differentiate you guys from all the other shitty millennials, the false ones out there that aren't true.
That think for themselves and have empathy for gay rights. Those are the false bullshit.
Education.
Do you think that Eldred Nelson thinks that millennials means people who are going to live during the millennium?
I think Eldred Nelson
does, because that's in his talk.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think Eldred Nelson believes what he's told. I mean, he's just a fucking.
He's a surgeon, right?
Many years ago.
But I'm saying he's a smart guy. He's no Dodo.
Yeah, well,
he's been to some pretty good schools. He's read some pretty good books.
I have a story about him, but I'm not going to use it tonight. So,
okay, well,
keep going, Matt.
I don't have a story about him, and I'm not going to make one up.
I have an actual real story. Anyway, go ahead, Matt.
So I've heard, but I don't. Until I see evidence of it, I don't believe it.
You don't believe? I know you don't believe me.
You are a chosen generation, just like every generation before you. No, he didn't say that. Foredetermined by God to do a remarkable work to help the people of this world prepare for the second coming of the Lord.
Any day now.
Well, soon. Like right away.
Soon. The day is at hand.
But that was an important message. Like, when you were a young adult, or when you were, you know, a teenager, that was such an important message to me. It was like, oh my gosh, that gave my life so much meaning.
Yeah.
To help the people of this world.
And now I'm 41.
Yeah. I mean, so?
They're going to keep saying this to every generation.
Right. Yeah,
All I'm
trying to do is to put myself in the position of the kids at BYU Hawaii that are hearing this, and we can scoff at this from our 40s and being outside of the church, but you know they're hearing this and they're like they're feeling it.
Oh yeah, I felt
it. And we know that because we did.
Yeah, I felt it.
Right. They are as it were the true Saturday's Warriors,
as we were told.
I guess
the fake that we were.
I think the main reason I want to make that point is because I don't want it to seem like we think that they're stupid for not figuring it out. Because I didn't figure it out when I was getting shoveled this line. It made me feel really good and really important. And
yeah,
so,
it's a very effective tool manipulating young minds is to make you feel like you are the one special generation.
Yeah.
Well, we have the additional fact of being at the end of the, you know, the 1900s.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, as we're graduating, some of us later than others, but you know, for me, it was 93 and kind of gearing up and thinking, oh, you know, this is coming. This whole year 2000 thing is coming. So the combination of that was a big deal for my generation, I think.
We all graduated high school in the 90s.
Yep. 92.
90.
Matt, 93. No,
so yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 92.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. Speaking to the generation referred to as millennials, President Nelson counseled young adults and spoke of the important role they have in moving the gospel of Jesus Christ forward. The devotional, held in the Cannon Activity Center on the Brigham Young University Hawaii campus in Lae, Hawaii, was translated into multiple languages. Is this right? Yeah. And broadcast to chapels and homes throughout the world. That's really important detail. I'm glad they reported that. Sister Wendy W. Nelson, President Nelson's wife, also spoke. The BYU Hawaii Concert Choir performed music for the live event. I wonder if they did. Do you think they opened it and closed it with a prayer? That it doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
No.
We'll assume.
I'm sure they did.
We'll
yeah.
Yeah. So, quote, the term millennial is perfect for you if that term reminds you of who you really are and what your purpose in life really is, President Nelson said. A true millennial is one who was taught and did teach the gospel of Jesus Christ premortally and who made covenants with Heavenly Father there about courageous things, even morally courageous things, you would do while here on earth.
You know, this thing of him picking up this millennial term of millennial, and it's so cutesy with, well, we talk about the millennium all the time, and the millennium means something. So I find it.
He does that in the next sentence, really, when he starts playing with the, rather than drawing from what experts say about the millennial generation. Well, I guess maybe not. President Nelson focused on what the Lord has said of this generation. Oh, jeez, what the Lord has said of this generation. Jeez, yeah, but I mean, like it's so loaded. In here, when you were in the pre-existence, you guys knew that you were going to come to Earth in a time where there was moral ambiguity. But you guys are courageous enough to take a stand for what is right and what is wrong. Because that's what a true millennial is, that you will be an asshole to people. Don't be like a wishy-washy, tolerant millennial. Be a true millennial. Right?
But what are they going to call the children of these "quote unquote millennials"?
Yeah, good question. I don't know.
Yeah, who comes up with this anyway? So the Gen Xers, the Gen Yers? You got the baby boomers. Who? Where does this come up? Any clue on where this term comes up and it just sticks, and then people just embrace it and go with it?
Yeah, it's just a fad.
Yeah. So
it's cultural literacy.
But the thing is, like the word millennial is very useful to a quote unquote prophet, seer, and revelator in this day and age. So
yeah,
they love that term millennial, but that term's going to wear out, and I'm wondering, you know, because the second coming, you know, they're going to be gathering around the year 3000 if Mormonism still exists. You know, they're going to be gathering around the year 3000 for the second coming, you know?
Yeah.
And what do they call that?
That's what we need to do.
The true millennials.
We need to do some, like, you know, like Carl the Casual Satanist type episodes. We need to do some of those that's like Mormonism 3000, you know,
3K.
like Mormonism in the year 2050, you know, like what is a sacrament meeting like then, or 2200, you know, Buck Rogers of the 24th century goes to the Mormon church, you know, or something like that. Nobody knows Buck Rogers anymore.
I know you all are tempted to replace your limbs with that whole stem cell.
Right. Therapy, yeah, right.
But you need a knot. That's
oh,
not
that's awesome.
Wants.
Yes.
You know, yeah. you parents, you prideful parents, you know, that you want to go meet with the doctor and pick every genetic attribute your kid's going to have. You know, oh ye, you know, prideful people.
No, I'll tell you what the big issue is going to be is baptism by immersion and how. Because by then, artificial intelligence will advance to such a stage that people will want to save the soul of their Siri by baptizing them. But you can't get the phones wet. So are you going to immerse them? Like how? Because you want to be able to, especially with the dwindling numbers of actual human beings in the church at that time, they'll want to be able to use the AI conversions to pad the numbers. I think we're brainstorming here.
You got to boost the numbers, yeah.
We'll
that's a good see. That's a good Disciples After Dark,
right.
Year 3000 is what, yeah. What the college thought should be.
How do you guys see Mormonism fitting in the Gattaca universe?
I've never seen Gattaca.
You what?
No, yeah,
what?
I haven't seen it. Sorry.
Oh my god!
Is that Ethan Hawke and Gwyneth Paltrow?
No, it's Uma Thurman.
No, yeah, Uma Thurman. That's it.
Yeah, fuck Gwyneth Paltrow. Don't get me started.
Yeah,
just fucking steam your vagina until you get some kind of infectious disease.
What? What?
I'm the woman hater. Stop
what are
it.
You talking about?
I hate Gwyneth Paltrow. she promotes steaming your vagina.
Why does that impact you? It doesn't. Why is that? That's the reason that you hate Gwyneth Paltrow.
I don't understand.
Like, I don't even understand what that means.
I've never heard this.
Is that a euphemism? Like, what is that?
Okay. Do you not care about the thousands of women who hang on her every word and then steam their vagina?
I guess I don't. I guess I really don't care about the women who steam their vaginas. I don't.
There must be something else to it.
If they're broiling them or like grilling them, I probably have a problem with it. But steamed, I don't know.
You're destroying all of that.
It's healthier that way.
Okay, all right. Let me finish. I do really like my what's it called?
I don't know. I don't know that either.
Anyway, there's a book that, like, I shit you not, there's a book called Is Gwyneth Paltrow Wrong About Everything? It's on Amazon. And she has legions of followers that follow her cult of personality.
How do you know this? Why do you know this?
Skeptics Guide the Universe. Yeah.
So Skeptics Guide to the Universe has like anti Gwyneth Paltrow articles because of the bad science that she pushes or something.
They mention her.
Okay, so what is the whole steaming vagina thing? I don't know what that means.
All right.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow to women. Steam your vaginas.
Did you look
this
up?
New York Daily News.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and guess what? Your vagina is just fine, okay?
Gwyneth Paltrow wants you to
thousands and thousands and millions of years of evolution have made your vagina just fine. And there are bacteria in there that are necessary to maintain the environment. And if you go in with a fucking steamer and kill, it's like killing all of the symbiotic bacteria in your colon. You know, it's a horrible idea.
Oh, that was great. This seems so niche, Randy, that you know this. That's crazy.
I think the real question is
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Do true millennials steam?
We don't know whether true millennials steam or not. I don't know if it makes them true.
They did in the pre-existence have courage to try things. But it was like morally defined, and I don't know if it's moral or immoral to steam your vagina. I just don't know.
Oh my God.
Every woman out there, don't do it.
Okay.
Randy cares about the vagina. Yeah. He's a friend of the vagina.
I'm a friend of the vagina, and
we've got another T-shirt idea.
Don't steam your vagina.
Don't steam your vagina.
John Hamer says no.
Randy says no. And there's a Gwyneth. A Gwyneth with a circle and an X over it.
Yeah, Randy says, fuck no.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
I like your vagina with all its bacteria that belongs there.
Okay. All right, so.
Woo.
Matt, you're next.
True millennial.
The true millennial
is a man or woman whom God trusted enough to send to Earth during the most compelling dispensation in the history of this world, he said. You know, the one that Joseph Smith was around in.
No. The one that I'm in right now is the most compelling.
One right now is always the most compelling, isn't it?
Yes.
We've got a superlative alert.
Yeah. Encouraging young adults to be morally courageous. Sorry. Encouraging young adults to be morally courageous, President Nelson shared four recommendations to help them stand up and live as a true millennial.
God, he uses that term a lot, doesn't he? True millennial.
First, steam your vaginas.
If you're true.
Yeah.
First, learn who you really are. President Nelson encouraged listeners to take time to think about who they are. An elect son or daughter of God.
Unless you're gay. Then don't. Then skip.
Don't skip number one.
skip number one if you're gay.
Yeah, see number two.
Yeah.
You were taught and prepared for everything that they would encounter in their earthly existence. True millennials know who they really are, President Nelson said. Nice writing there, Marianne. There are devout disciples of Jesus Christ who instinctively seize every opportunity to help themselves and others prepare for the millennial reign of our Savior. See, here we go. I promise you that when you begin to catch even a glimpse of how your Heavenly Father sees you and what He's counting on you to do for Him, your life will never be the same.
Right. How could you even prove that?
You didn't have to.
You could say that about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Your life will never be the same. After you've heard this podcast, your life will never be the same, I promise you.
This is the most important podcast. This episode is the most important episode you will ever hear.
Well, it's just the fact that now your life will have included hearing this podcast and before it didn't. Right. So
mm-hmm.
there's a difference. It's not the same.
It can't be the same.
Yeah. It's stupid.
Can I read? All right. Second, President Nelson encouraged listeners to expect and prepare to accomplish the impossible. Here we go again. Something that cannot be done is going to be done. Reminding young adults that Abrahamic tests did not stop with Abraham. President Nelson spoke.
What a great example, Elder Nelson, to point to.
Killing your children did not stop with Abraham.
Jeez. Well, Abraham didn't kill.
Well,
in Abraham's defense, in the fictional Abraham's defense, he did not kill his son.
In the cartoon character of Abraham, who never existed, you know, being asked to kill his kid, he did it begrudgingly, right? Did he not?
It was like Nephi, you know, except for he actually went through with it.
Yeah, Nephi went through it, but
he actually cut the guy's head off. President Nelson spoke of how God has always asked his covenant children to do difficult things. Because you are covenant-keeping sons and daughters of God, living in the latter part of the latter days. Any day now.
The latter part of the latter days. We're in like...
Yeah, this is... I guess they're getting more specific.
One, you know, it's like sub one, right?
Yeah, they're saying like... Because we were told we're living in the latter days, but now... We're in the latter part of the latter days.
Right, and then it'll be the last part of the latter days.
No, the last part of the latter part of the latter days.
Right.
The Lord will ask you to do difficult things. You can count on it.
This is kind of a brilliant statement here, though, because for a guy that's positioning himself as the voice of the Lord, who knows damn well that he's going to be asking them to swim against the grain, you know, he guarantees that the Lord is going to ask you guys to swim against the grain. And it's the Lord, you guys. It's not us. It's the Lord. That's how you're going
to
know.
It's pretty easy
to be prophetic when you say, you know what, life's going to be hard. Guys, I just want to tell you in my apostolic calling, life's going to be hard. Things will come at you day by day, by day,
by day. But this is, you know, like I really hate the vague, you know, it, like everybody wink wink knows what he's really talking about. He's talking about the attitudes about homosexuality, but he covers it as like a blanket statement. Ooh, it could be anything that's difficult, but he's really talking about, you know, you guys need to decide here and now, choose ye this day whom you'll serve.
Choose ye this day whom you will serve, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Right, and so it's, you guys have to make a choice. The true millennials choose to be bigots, basically. That you will not be accepting of what society, even though society is accepting gay marriage and the gay lifestyle, you guys won't, and you'll stand firm, and you'll be morally courageous, because that's what true millennials are, and that'll be what makes God happy. And it's just
right, because they haven't referenced it yet, but he's talks about the policy, and you're going to be asked to do hard things, you know,
right?
Like shun the children of gay and lesbian people.
Why are we still doing the SmackDown stuff? And this is just we're already angry about it before. This doesn't.
All right, Matt, Glenn, start with recognizing.
I will. Thank you.
I will go down.
All right. If it's steamed. Recognizing that being asked to do something.
Jesus Christ.
Recognizing that being asked to do something that seems far beyond one's capacity can be unnerving, President Nelson encouraged listeners to accept challenging tasks and become an instrument in the Lord's hands. Sharing his own experience, President Nelson spoke of when he had been the Quorum of the 12 Apostles for only 19 months in 1985, when President Ezra Taft Benson asked him to do what he thought was impossible. Boy, that's a terribly written sentence. Open the countries of Eastern Europe for the preaching of the gospel.
Impossible.
He had thought Can't it was done. Impossible and asked you to do it. I want you to do this. They don't even explain how he did it. Okay. Although the task was not easy and there were many obstacles in his way, President Nelson kept working until he was able to fulfill what the prophet had asked him to do. The Lord is able to do his own work. What? And I was privileged to watch the unfolding of one miracle after another, always and only after I had brought my best thinking, my most courageous efforts, and my most fervent prayers to the task. He said.
He said.
Uh-huh. The Lord is able to do his own... What? The Lord is able to do his own work. But only after we bring our best thinking and our most courageous efforts, the most...
Our strongest bigotry.
I'm so angry at myself for believing that when I was these kids' age.
That feels like...
The Lord's
impotent. That feels like stronger rhetoric than what we got, though. The idea of...
No, it's
not that you'll be asked to do difficult things, but the idea of, you know, beyond your, beyond your means or...
Well, it's called impossible. He was asked to do the impossible, and
God will never ask you to do that which is beyond your ability. Right.
But it's Nephi 1, 3:7? First Nephi 3:7?
Yeah,
I'll go and do the things that the Lord prepared for you.
For I know the Lord will prepare the way.
Yeah, he doesn't ask anybody to do something unless he's prepared a way for him to accomplish what he's asking to do.
Like build a boat, which I don't know how to build a boat. Yeah, no, you're right.
Don't worry.
Or build a fleet of submarines, you know.
Don't worry, I've made wood float just for you.
I just love how they use like such superlative words like impossible. Like he was asked to do something that is impossible.
But with nothing
God.
Is impossible.
But
God, this isn't any different than the kind of strong messaging
right.
that we got.
Right. This is how past feeling I am, bro.
Right. You know? The biggest difference is the specific issue about gay marriage that is now legal and accepted. Socially, whereas in our day it wasn't. It was still this taboo, icky thing that it was okay. Yeah. Like it was easier for the church to be against it because society was against it. Now it's not as easy for the church, but it's politically expedient for them to define their membership as having to do difficult things. And look, here's one of these difficult things. We knew this was going to happen in the last days. Look, it's happening. More proof that it's true, you guys. Just more proof that it's true and more reason for you guys to retrench.
And also that the end is nigh. Like the world is gone to hell in a handbasket. People are accepting the fags.
It's not even nigh, right? It's in the latter part of nigh.
Right. I was told that if you could have a clock, it was 11:59
right.
and 59 seconds before. Second coming. Right. So now what are they doing? It's 11:59 and 59 seconds with 0.98 seconds left on the clock. I mean, Jesus is just about to come. And they're going to be doing this for hundreds of years if this church survives. Hundreds of years.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see when we explore it in parody. We'll see. All right.
Where are we?
I don't know. We're in a quagmire.
Why are we still doing this?
Quagmire bullshit.
I'll just finish this up because then it'll go to the third one. As a true millennial whom the Lord can count on, you will make history too, just like Elder Nelson did in opening up the European countries. You will be asked to accept challenging assignments and become an instrument in the Lord's hands, just like I was. And he will enable you to accomplish the impossible.
Ugh.
Yeah. All right. So that's
I don't think that word means what he thinks it means.
So let's back up. So the first thing was to know yourself, right. And the second thing was to expect and prepare yourself to accomplish the impossible. Okay, so that's the theme here. And now the third one, Max.
Yes. Third, true millennials learn how to access the power of heaven. Every one of us has questions, he said. Seeking to learn, understand, and recognize truth is a vital part of our mortal experience. Much of my life has been spent in research. You, too, will learn best by asking inspired questions. Inspired questions, not questions.
No, inspired ones.
Inspired questions, yes. Recognizing that some may be struggling with questions which aren't inspired, President Nelson said it's up to an individual to learn how to qualify for and receive answers. Where can you start? He asked. Begin by spending more time in holy places. Sharing personal experience he has had working with the First Presidency while serving in the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, President Nelson spoke of the process they, the 15 men, sustained as prophets, seers, and revelators, go through when discussing issues in the church. The First Presidency and Quorum of the 12 Apostles counsel together and share all the Lord has directed us to understand and to feel, individually and collectively, he said. And then we watch the Lord move upon the president of the church to proclaim the Lord's will.
You mean the guy that's suffering from dementia?
The impossible, Randy. I bet you would think that it would be impossible for a guy with dementia to speak the will of the Lord. You would probably think that would be impossible. But a true millennial would know that things can be accomplished that would otherwise look impossible. It's just whether or not you have faith. And you don't. You don't measure up. You're not a true Generation Xer.
Well, but I just want to repeat this sentence again.
Okay.
And then we watch the Lord move upon the president of the church to proclaim the Lord's will.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, they're all sitting there in that room and they're looking at a guy who's drooling.
Oh.
Maybe he's just been steamed. Maybe his face has been steamed. You don't know.
Yeah,
maybe his vagina's been steamed. I don't know.
Yeah. And maybe this didn't exactly happen, and President Nelson is just telling people what he wants to hear.
No, this is bullshit. You know it's bullshit. Yeah. The guy is incapacitated, and this guy is fucking standing in front of a bunch of young minds, and he's saying, and then we all look at President Thomas S. Monson.
How are you getting that he's incapacitated? He was lucid enough in October.
You did his talk.
Yeah, but I didn't listen to it.
He could barely stand.
Well, so I will say this, man.
So, but he's sitting down. They didn't say he was standing when he received the will of the Lord.
Let's go back in time, Glenn, and look at President Benson. He's fucking in a wheelchair, drooling, and they will not release him.
Wait, what?
Who?
Benson.
What does that have to do with Monson now?
I'm giving
that's your evidence for
you're
President
Monson. You're using a better example. You mean a better example than Monson.
It fits better. It fits better. Okay.
Go, Matt.
I will say this, dude. I hope I'm as good as Monson is at that age. He seems to be doing. I mean,
I hope to be dead.
With all these reports of dementia. I mean, if I could be functioning as Monson, I'd do it.
No, I'd rather be dead.
I mean, because Nelson's, what, 91? And that's pretty freaking good right there.
Yeah. Nelson's 91?
Yeah.
Man, he must have lived the word of wisdom to a T.
That's good for 91.
He never ate meat in the winter or in the summer.
Listen,
he lived the word of wisdom to an herbal tea.
There is something said for the apostles. As much as we talk about how limited they are in their mental functioning and then how they decline really, really quickly in that. By and large, they hold on pretty good to their mental functioning and their ability to do things,
Matt,
a lot later than most people.
So you are really challenging a cherished ex-Mormon trope here. Are you sure you really want to go down this path? There will be rage.
No, I will
experience outrage.
But really, Matt, you believe that Monson like has control of all of his mental faculties?
Well, I think he is better than a large percentage, a vast majority of people his age.
That is a low bar, dude. Oh, way to go.
Like, yeah, no, most of them are dead to begin with. I get it, bro. But it's still...
But what I'm saying is what fucking Nelson is saying here is everyone looks at the demented motherfucking old dude.
Of course that's
bullshit.
And
they're like, oh, he's got the final say because he's fucking God's...
Right. No, that's stupid. I'm with you. What I'm saying is, though, I reject the idea that he's sitting there drooling and completely incapacitated. That is an ex-Mormon caricature.
That's just trying to be funny. God.
Okay. Sorry, man. I didn't know what was...
So let's just say you reject his attempt at humor and let's move on.
Okay. Right. Hey, are you guys okay if I bring Benji on to finish up with us? Do you guys care?
No.
Because then he and I are going to do something at 10, but he's like, hey, I'm ready if you want to go now. I said, we're finishing up here.
All right.
Are you okay? Or if not, I'll...
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I don't know Benji, so... What, remind me, what was he famous for? Dancing with the Stars or something?
That's what it was. He's a cool guy.
No, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. I just feel bad that I don't know him.
I don't watch reality TV.
It doesn't matter. He's a cool guy.
Okay.
He's a friend.
Right. Hey, Benji.
He's not on yet.
Well, get him on. Jesus.
He just added a hashtag to his Skype name. It's hashtag one true millennial.
How old is he?
32? 31?
Oh, he's barely a millennial.
Yeah.
He's like the senior millennial.
Benji.
What up?
Hello.
Hello. Is he here? Oh, hold up. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah, but it's kind echoey. It's kind of like in and out.
Oh, shoot. All right, signal. I'll sign out, dude. I don't want to be a rotten egg here.
All right. Hey,
Benji, do you have like a mic or a headset? It sounds like you're going off your computer mic.
Yeah, I can switch to a different mic. I'll try that right now. 1 second.
Because the connection sounds strong now, actually.
Let me just switch it up. 1 second.
So is Benji going to audition for the 10th infant spot then, since we're like, we can go back to adding the celebrities? And
yeah.
We're only adding people who are better than us.
Oh, that's great. In fact, we should float that just to have rage come up, you know, and that's funny. No, see, next it's got to be a minority, right? Let's keep going.
Benji. All right. This is making it more difficult to edit with all the stops here at the end.
Oh, yeah.
But that's all right. I'm a pro.
You are a pro.
I'm an unpaid pro.
You're up, Glenn.
Yeah, so why don't you read to the end of this one so that – and then Randy takes the fourth, actually.
Okay. The first presidency and quorum of the 12 apostles – oh, no, can't, we got
no,
that.
It's the next one.
Well, this prophetic process, which also includes fasting, prayer, studying, pondering, counseling – with each other as they wrestle with the issue, was followed in 2012 with the change in age for missionary service, as well as the recent additions to the church handbook consequent to the legalization of same-sex marriage in some countries, President Nelson said. Some countries, like the U.S., because it's been legal in other countries for a decade.
And they didn't care then.
Well, they cared.
No, but they didn't make a big deal out of it then.
The Lord didn't tell them to.
Touché.
Filled with compassion for all, and especially for the children. Especially for the children.
The children. Right. Will somebody please think about the children?
Yeah.
We wrestled at length to understand the Lord's will in this matter, he said.
Because Joseph Smith used to wrestle with people.
Yep.
So then that's what
Stick
they do
pulling,
now.
Really?
That'd be really fun to watch. You know, watch all these old guys wrestling with each other.
Well, you know, Jacob wrestled with God himself. I mean,
it was an angel.
No, Jacob.
It was an angel.
It was an angel.
I thought he
broke his leg.
That's because you heard the story in seminary instead of from the Old Testament.
Wait a minute. Did Jacob tap out, or did the angel tap out?
The angel
broke Joshua's leg or something like that?
Jacob,
sorry. Ever mindful of God's plan of salvation and his hope for eternal life for each of his children, we considered countless permutations and combinations of possible scenarios that could arise. We met repeatedly. Yeah, possible permutation.
Permutation. That's a big word coming from an apostle.
And you know why he's saying this? He's saying this because of that scripture that says Jesus will bail you out after everything, like after you've done everything that you can do, Jesus will bail you out.
Yeah. Well, no, see, I thought it was because we got to see at least two permutations off this policy.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
One, two.
Oh, hey, tester.
Testicular.
Testicular.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Do I sound good?
No.
No? Damn.
It's passable.
It'll work. It'll work, dude.
All right, so let me do this paragraph, and then we're almost to four. Right. And then, when the Lord inspired his prophet, Thomas S. Monson, to declare the mind of the Lord and the will of the Lord, each of us, during that sacred moment, felt a spiritual confirmation. It was our privilege as apostles to sustain what had been revealed to President Monson. Revelation from the Lord to his servants is a sacred process, and so is your privilege.
Or corporate protocol, sorry.
Personal revelation. So
they need to stop calling it personal revelation and just call it personal confirmation, because that's all that it really is. Like it confirms that what we're telling you is true. That's what you have an entitlement to.
Have the privilege to obey what we tell you.
And to know, like, God will tell you that it's true because God tells us that it's true and we're telling you that it's true. So that is your privilege.
Yeah. Elder Oaks, man, the personal line and the priesthood line. Yeah. Like if your personal line.
Oh, that's right.
If your personal line conflicts with the priesthood line, your personal line is out of focus.
as the apostles seek.
Which makes it completely superfluous. Sorry,
wrestle. Go ahead. When faced with difficult questions.
Start over, Matt.
Yeah.
Just as the apostles
seek. Do it in a higher voice, Matt.
Just as the apostles seek.
Not that high. Tone it down a little bit, Matt.
Just as the apostles seek.
Matt does anything I say. I love it. I love it. Do it like puppet. Seth Rogen, Matt. Do it in your Seth Rogen voice.
You know, it's harder to do it when I try to do it.
When you put on the spot. Yeah.
Just as the apostles seek, ponder, pray, study, and wrestle, when faced, hey, not a three pattern, Glenn. When faced with difficult questions, so does each person as he or she seeks answers to his or her own questions. Okay.
Oh, they added a her. That was nice.
Yeah. So it's not just a policy, it's revelation, guys. So and I really do think this is the point of this. It's another talking point of let's quit calling it a policy, because I think that the church has been getting beat up by that. It's the policy, and they want to change the narrative to the Lord's will as it pertains to children of gay and lesbian.
You know my theory isn't that everything is a three pattern, right?
Yeah, I do. Okay.
All right.
But it's just kind of a thing. But do you know how
like
hard
I could have pointed out all the times in here when there were three patterns because I recognized them, but I didn't say it because that would be pedantic.
I try so hard not to do three patterns now whenever I write. I'm like, what's a fourth? What's a fourth?
No, but employ it, man. You know that three patterns are traditionally effective. They're a great
way
of packaging information. They work.
Yeah, they
make it seem more complete. But – you know, if somebody knows that that's going on, then it also makes you wonder, what's that third one really doing?
Well, see,
maybe
I
it's just there
that,
to make this all seem complete.
Is this going to be edited out?
No, I'm not. I'm going to do minimal editing on this, Randy.
I always think of the other thing. If it's a fourth, then you're like, wow, this really is thoughtful because it's not just three. There's a fourth he had to add. But maybe that's misguided.
Maybe.
I think we just forget after that. I mean, for crying out loud, you give me three steps to something, I forget. I just think everything's Trinitarian. The universe is Trinitarian. You know, before we live, while we're living, and then thereafter. And it's easy for society to grasp onto that, I think.
Right. Where'd we come from? Why are we here? Where do we go after? That's a three pattern.
Jew Saturday's Warrior. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Benji, you're on to fourth.
Okay, on to fourth. Fourth, President Nelson spoke of the need to follow the prophets. Prophets see ahead, he said. They see the harrowing dangers the adversary has placed or will yet place in our path. Prophets also foresee the grand possibilities and privileges awaiting those who listen with the intent to obey. Dot, dot, dot. You may not always understand every declaration of a living prophet, he said. But when you know a prophet is a prophet, you can approach the Lord in humility and faith and ask for your own witness about whatever his prophet has proclaimed.
There you go, Glenn.
Confirmation. That's it.
Can I interject?
Yeah, you've proven that over and over and over again. You're quite adept at it.
You have the ability.
Yeah.
I don't wonder anymore.
Okay. Then it worked.
I just think I'm going to say something, and I'm sure you guys have probably already covered it earlier on since I'm tardy to this conversation. But the thought that comes to mind is it's really sad. Like when you see – now, I'm probably one of voting for her. But when Hillary Clinton starts taking poses and pictures and selfies with Snoop Dogg and with like people that are popular out there, and it seems like the apostles just – sent him out there to say something cool, like mention the word millennials, because millennials is what this generation is calling themselves. But I also remember 10 years ago when I was the same age as most of these kids in BYU, and you know, they called us the chosen generation, that we were the ones set forth to do something great. You know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. All hearing that at every like missionary farewell and homecoming, it's the same rhetoric, and they're just changing the name. Like the next thing I expect them to start doing is like hashtag true blue, or like hashtag, I don't know, hashtag true millennial. I think that is going to be something that we're going to start seeing on social media. And it annoys the hell out of me, because they're really just trying to follow trends. Like there's nothing inspired about this, except for the fact that they were inspired to follow trends from what the world has created within social media. That is not inspiration at all. It's you're 2000 and late apostles. Like what the hell?
Well, newsflash, they were 10 years late on the civil rights movement.
And still, they
called the generation before my generation, which was Glenn's and Matt's generation, Generation X. They called the generation before that the chosen generation. They called Generation X the chosen generation. They called Generation Y the chosen generation. All of us were going to bring in the second coming.
When they were in Missouri in 1836, yeah, they thought that Jesus was going to come in 5 years, and that they were never going to leave Far West Missouri. I mean, this isn't a new thing.
What happened in 1890? That was
you're talking about the proclamation, whatever.
No, that was a year Joseph Smith would have turned 85.
Oh yeah,
and he had that revelation that, you know, he was like nagging the Lord, right, according to the story.
But that was just one, you know, like there were continual expectations. Every single generation, and when you go back and you look at patriarchal blessings from the very earliest patriarchal blessings, they talk about, like, not every single one says it, but there's plenty that say it, that you will be alive to see the second coming of Jesus Christ. So every mm-hmm. generation has been taught that this is the generation that is here to usher in Jesus personally. You'll see him. It'll be there. So it's not just millennials in the last 20 or 30 or 40 years that this has been going on. It's part of the DNA of the church.
Years. Yeah. And I'm going to interject.
Jesus time, or just after Jesus time, right, too. They thought he was coming back.
Sure.
Yeah, Jesus said, no, this generation will not pass before you'll see.
I wonder, after hearing John Hamer talk about the way that the New Testament was written, I wonder.
Okay,
if you're talking about the historical Jesus, if they really thought that the historical Jesus was ushering in the end of the world, I don't know.
Well, John actually doesn't think that the Yeshua, the historical Jesus, was an apocalyptic.
Right.
I totally disagree with John.
Yeah.
And I'm a Bart Ehrman. I ascribe to that Jesus was absolutely an apocalyptic. And John will say to you that's a totally reasonable position to take.
Right.
But he takes a different position.
Unlike the Spalding Joseph Smith Book of Mormon thing.
Let's not go there.
Okay.
Which Randy is wrong about.
That's okay. A rabbit hole. That's a deep rabbit hole, boys.
Holes.
What Benji read was prophet, this is where I was going to interject. Benji read that prophets see ahead. What was a great moment in time in our lifetimes when a prophet had an opportunity to see ahead? It was when we invaded Iraq.
Oh, I was thinking about when David Bowie predicted what the impact of the internet would be on music 15 years ago, but that was just something I watched recently on Facebook.
Yeah, so. Well, this is like the one time I agree with Rock Waterman. He's like, the prophet is up before the world, you know, mostly just members, in general conference, right after we've invaded Iraq, the shock and awe. In March, what was that, 2003. And General Conference was April 2003. And he got up and said, hey, you know what? I don't know anything, but I'm loyal to our president, so that's what we're going to do. I mean, it was, like, so fucking lame. Like, he had no prophetic insight.
Yeah, whatsoever. I remember being disappointed in that, too, when I heard that.
My memory is he said something like, have hope or... don't despair.
Yeah, like don't like panic. That. You know, yeah. It's not the end of the world yet. But it's something. I don't know.
Yeah,
he had nothing.
I think ultimately, though, just going back to this message, I think it's funny how they play on fear. You know, the second coming is soon. You guys are chosen. You know, there's that Neo and Matrix type mentality that I think they really just project on the youth of the church. And I consider that the BYU students to be the youth of the church, really, the ones that maybe are newlyweds or return missionaries or about to go on a mission. And, you know, from a more non-John Hamer intellect of a normal gay person such as myself, I just think that it's overall, it's fear and it's ego boosting. And there's such like extreme toxic chemical mixes that they make us feel. And that's why we're quote unquote pulling off, like, you know, micro ISIS aggressions by leaving our families for 2 years and, you know, being strong and accepting these crazy tests. I mean, obviously it seems like he's talking about like the gay agenda and how it's, right, you know, really going to just challenge everyone's minds and brains. And, you know, no matter what, you just got to see beyond it. I mean, they're really teaching us to just use cognitive dissonance on everything. I mean, that is the only way. It's the Band-Aid. It's the numbing agent. It's the alcohol. It's whatever we can do to self-medicate and forget, like, humanity and consciousness. And it's a lack of love. Like, how can we be compassionate to people without it? I just think it's pretty pathetic that they do it with a smile and a quote-unquote new term lingo to sound cool and up-to-date, and that the prophets see ahead. But the prophets see ahead, they would have been talking about, other than Iraq, they would have been saying things, simple things such as, you know, Prop 22 probably wouldn't have happened the way it went down.
Hey.
We would have done Prop 8, you know. I'm just saying.
In fairness, Benji, they had some strong, very capable people that were out there pounding the pavement.
Shut up, man.
Are you calling yourselves strong? Come on, man. How much can you
match, yo? I'm taking a shot at Randy.
Oh, Randy. No, he's not strong.
I was totally valiant because I was like 2000. Prop 22 was a 2000 initiative.
Yeah.
And remember, I was only 26. So.
Well, I was 18. So I
was young. I needed the money. And
I do. I want that point. Oh, sorry, Rand. Go.
I was going to say I'm going to violate Godwin's law, but the tactics they're using, or the tactics they used with the SS or with Hitler's youth, is, hey, what we want to do, nobody wants to do. Right. This is hard to, you know, use violence against the Jews, but it's for the greater good. And, you know, it obviously with Mormonism, the stakes are a lot lower, but the tactics are just the same.
Well, I'm glad it took us to the end of the discussion to bring up the Nazi comparison.
You lost the argument there. Dang, man. You just dropped it for the team by mentioning that.
All right. Well, we can edit.
I love the we.
We can edit it.
I haven't really picked up on that point, though, that they do this 1-2 punch of both tearing people down and with fear and injecting fear, and then building them up with, but you can do anything and you're a chosen generation, but you should be fearful about it.
Okay, so that's a tactic that as a coach, so I coach a lot of competitive dance couples, and that might sound fluffy to some of you, but these kids are beasts and they work hard.
That sounds
know?
Really gay to me.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll show you gay when I see you. But anyways, when I coach kids and if I see their potential, if I see that they're not, you know, they're not really pushing their potential, or they're not really, I don't know, whether it's an issue mentally or physically, like I want to push them to their limits. So normally I make them intimidated of me. They know that I'm the best in my field at what I do, and I'll throw that weight around. And I do that not to spark a competitive nature, but rather like you can be here. So what I normally do is I exert my authority at first. I get that fear in them, and then I start seeing little bits of progress, and I motivate the hell out of them, and I tell them that they're going to be a better champion than I will ever be. And they'll be better than this person. They'll be stratospheric and this, that, and the other. And it's miraculous to see what these machines end up doing. You know, and that's why I think a lot of just competitive athletes in general, to, you know, to compare to Mormons themselves, it's like they don't realize their craft. They can't coach until many years after they've done competing. And I think it's similar with these Mormon youth. They're hearing this fear and this ego boost, and they're so confused, they just go into robot mode. And unless someone breaks that bubble, unless you have a gay family member, unless you're, you know, whatever, unless there's some sort of issue that actually sparks something in your head, you're not gonna leave. You're not gonna break through. You're just gonna wallow in your own self pity and ignorance. And it's really, really sad. And then just to aggregate what they say at the very end, they mention that Sister Nelson spoke, and I'm not going to quote her because she's a woman, and what do the infants ever quote that are from women? But it says,
haven't been listening lately. That's all we're accused of quoting now.
I know. Too much estrogen love, but that's fine. Yeah. I just think it's really funny that they finished the entire article out with Sister Nelson spoke about becoming the person you were born to be. And I just think that I mean,
you're born to be a bigot.
Yeah.
Be that bigot. Be the best bigot you can be.
She also does the whole, she comes back to the pray the gay away thing. That's really you.
Fucking, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. That was a big piece of it, is you can overcome anything through prayer. And so the be who you're supposed to be, or you know, who you're born to be, the real point of that is, if you pray and repent and do these things, you can overcome anything. So there was an underlying pray the gay away. It was really, really damaging and really just really offensive. And these two messages, the combination of these two messages with her and the pray the gay away thing, and then he with his this is a revelation, I think has the potential to continue to cause real damage and real suicides in the gay youth of the church.
So I've got a question, Randy, for you. Yeah. Did you ever at any point in your life pray to not be gay?
I have a lot of homophobic guilt.
I know, but I mean, did you ever? Did you ever, like, please have
no.
my father? But, okay, all right.
Well, actually, I have
because I love boobs so much. I just love boobs. Okay. Anyway,
I had a companion on my mission, and I remember one time we had this really interesting conversation. And he told me, he's like, Elder Schwimmer, he's like, have you ever like looked at a dude and kind of been confused about your feelings for? And I'm thinking, oh, you know. And of course, I'm saying, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, well, if this is a problem you might want to talk to your mission president about. But then he said, he's like, no, he's like, you know, just sometimes you can see the silhouette of any body and it can look sexually appealing. And he was a really smart kid, and I don't think he was even a smidge gay. I mean, maybe like two or three steps below how gay Randy is, but like,
yeah, right.
The issue was, what I thought was interesting, the issue was he told me he had a cousin that came out of the church, left his mission early, and he was very traumatized by it because they were very close. And then he said that he specifically every day would pray that he would never have to deal with same-sex attraction. And it's not that he was praying it away because he was going through it, but he literally, in his prayers every night, always prayed for that because he always believed it was the worst trial and challenge that someone could go through in this life. So I always thought that was pretty profound.
And that it was possible that something that Satan could put his hooks in you and make you that way against your will.
Yeah.
Against your nature. That Satan could do that if you're not careful and vigilant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy. Absolutely. True millennials pray that they won't be gay. I guess that's the fifth step that they didn't get to.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a PM from a fan, and she obviously, this is unvetted, but she said that she mentioned the number of suicides that have happened in the last couple of weeks, and they seem to spike around this talk, but yeah. I can't find it. But you know what? I mean, it's inevitable. Every time the church gets up and fucking spouts this idiotic bigotry, there's somebody listening who's gay and they can't overcome it. And they know they can't overcome it and they opt out. I mean, these talks, there's blood.
Yeah.
And it it just enrages me that these old men get up and they fucking are so clueless and so out of touch, and they get up and they cause people to kill themselves over and over and over and over again.
I wish just once that somebody would, of the 12, somebody would say, it's nothing is worth taking your life. You know, if you would have at least that talk, you know, whether your trials are this, that, and the other, like, I wish they would, but they wouldn't, because they would rather slit their own throat than break the commandments of the Lord. So you know what I mean? Like,
really? You think that?
Let's go back to 1994 when they changed that. I wish I would have gone to the... Yeah. It was 1990. All right, I wish I would have been in the temple when we did that, because that would have been extra cool. That would have at least, like, sparked some mental stimulation and, like, I don't know. Anyways, but... I agree.
It was 89, actually, because I went through January of 90, and I didn't get it.
You didn't get it?
Yeah,
okay.
It was like, I missed it by a few months.
Mm. Did you get blonde Eve or brunette Eve?
Brunette.
We had both. Oh, well.
Mm. Oh, brunette Eve.
See, I don't remember the first one, but I've seen them both.
Mm. I've seen them both, but I crushed on brunette Eve.
Yeah, that was the only one when I was going through.
Oh, really?
For a while. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the blonde one came a few years later.
Yeah, so it was the Balaam.
Yeah.
Say,
yeah, the Balaam one.
Yeah, he's saying,
okay. Have fun.
He sang every line. I wish to send my tears.
Wait. You're saying that Michael Balaam is gay?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I mean,
his daughter was in my ward in Bloomington.
Dude, gay people have kids all the time.
What? Wait. How?
He's the Liberace of Mormonism, for crying out. Watch his hands in the temple videos. You can YouTube it if you want to. I'm just saying, from someone with a perspective, I don't know the guy personally, but I mean, like, more so than Randy, he is just gay on another level. Wow. Just gay on another level.
More than Randy.
Anywho. Right. Yeah, I thought blonde Eve, she had like roots in her hair, so I always thought that was kind of disgusting and off-putting. But I thought that brunette I thought brunette Eve was really pretty. She had those big doughy eyes. Yeah, I wasn't attracted to any of the Adams, though. I thought they were all kind of waspy,
boring,
and kind of
remarkable.
Just in their their makings, they're just kind of a machine and kind of being around.
I will not partake. For the Lord hath commanded me, in the day that I shall surely die.
I shall surely die.
To me, both Adams were like oatmeal without any sugar, any cream,
exactly.
Any milk.
That's the perfect explanation, yes.
But that is what the church is wanting our youth to be. I mean, you understand that there's this chaos, like, you will be banned from the garden. You know, the second coming is coming soon. Like, it's so correlated, and it's the same thing. Like, the process in which Adam goes through in the temple videos is literally the same method in which the youth is experiencing this gay issue and all issues in the church right now. It's just really funny how it's been correlated since, quote-unquote, the beginning. At least the beginning of temple ceremonies, post-masonry and whatnot, but, like... Anywho, I just think it's really silly that it's all correlated, and that I agree, Randy. Like, to hear you know, I was one of those guys that would watch these talks and see these happy married couples where their wives would say something and they'd sit down politely. And then these alpha dog males would just speak about how nothing is impossible with the Lord, to always follow the commandments. You can pray anything away with faith. And it's, you're really, I don't think they really understand how easy some of them have it, being white males, privileged to be born in the United States, being heterosexual. However,
they have no idea.
They have no idea how hard it is, honestly.
And you weren't here earlier, but they invoked the word impossible and then showed how the impossible was done.
That's wrong.
Over and over in this talk. And so when you're a young gay, like say you're like 16, 15, you're gay, and you hear that the impossible can be done, what does that do to your psyche?
Well, I know for a fact, for me, it just made me feel like I had no self-worth, because every single time you would think that you had something under wraps, you know, a few days later, you see a boy that you're attracted to, or you have a dirty thought, or you masturbate, or whatever it might be, but the guilt just rushes over you, and then you hear this thing. You know that the equation, that there's an answer to the equation, that it's totally possible, and yet I keep failing, so what's wrong with me? You know, despite my calloused knees during prayer, I can't tell you how many times I would fall asleep with my head over my bed from just praying and crying at night at that age. And the panic attacks that I would get from it. And, you know, ultimately it's really difficult. It's really difficult. There's no proper equation to this issue. You can't fix it in your mind. And on a side note too, and I'm sure that Matt and I will probably dig into this in the future podcast that we're planning on doing, but, you know, to talk about what the youth is doing, you know, to see some of these millennial couples that are mixed orientation marriages, I know for a fact that many of these guys, at the very least, are looking at gay porn all the time in order to stimulate themselves to have sexual relations with their spouses.
There you go, Glenn. That's how you have a kid when you're gay.
Easy. It's easy. But for me, to be honest with you, some guys, for me, it's easy. Like, a hole's a hole. I'm attracted to women. I could easily have sex with women. It just doesn't work as well for me as it does with guys. But ultimately, I just think that, again, you can try and have mental gymnastics for the rest of your life, but ultimately you're becoming that oatmeal version of Adam that we see in those temple videos. And that is not a thriving life. It's not joy. And if I were me, knowing that I, for instance, if I were to die today and quote unquote go to heaven in some like weird, twisted, bizarro's world version of Mormonism, and I'm in paradise, and I go back and see, wow, I was a zombie for my entire life, and now I get to be happy? That doesn't make any sense. Like, what they're telling the youth and what they're telling everybody in the church to do, to just put a cork on top of all of their emotions, feelings, logic, and even love, like to show love towards other people, the judgmental behaviors that they're really instilling, and so much homophobia and heterosexism on top of that. It's just amazing how negative, you know, when you're on the outside looking at it, it's really crazy how much of the Kool-Aid everybody is drinking and how much cyanide the apostles are putting in it.
So Benji, I just got one question with the male or the female thing. You know, you said you could do either one, but it doesn't work out as well if it's a woman. Sure. What if it was Gwyneth Paltrow?
Shut the fuck up.
Why the hell are you mentioning Gwyneth? Of all people, you picked the salty girl that everybody hates in Hollywood. Like, why Gwyneth?
Because she deserves to be hated.
Because I think Randy, that would probably be like one of his best experiences.
He would have
put so much into it.
Yeah, but no. In fairness, it would be so moist. This is not a one night stand.
Hey, dette Claudia im Welv i Norge. Did you know that infants on thrones in Norwegian are called spädbarn på troner? Du kan kommentere denne episoden på nettsiden infantsonthrones.com. Og hvis du liker det du hører, gi forumet 5 stjerner og skriv en kort anmeldelse på iTunes. Det har jeg gjort. For all you non-Norwegian speakers out there, you can comment on this episode on infantsonthrones.com. And if you really like what you hear, give the quorum a 5-star rating in iTunes. Er det noen som vil avslutte med bønn? And inch by inch we get closer and closer to every little part of each other. Oh, baby.
Got to see at least 2 permutations off this policy.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Testing 1, 2.
Oh, hey, tester.
Testicular.
Testicular.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Do I sound good?
No.
No, damn.
It's passable.
It'll work. Huh. It'll work, dude.
You sound as good as I did for 3 years.
you sound better than I did for 18 months.
Well, I have an Apogee Duet right now, and I have a Sennheiser mic in, but I also have like this Bluetooth headpiece because I'm not sure which one I'm feeding through. Like, are you hearing me tap my microphone right now?
No.
No, you're on your global mic or your external mic.
My ghetto mic. Oh, dude, fantastic.
Are you as sexy as your picture?
Hell to the no. That's the grace and beauty of lighting, hair, makeup, sucking it in, clenching the teeth and the jaw. No, I'm an everyday man.
All right.
That's not true. He sends me selfies all the time and they are beautiful.
Yeah, everyone thinks I'm gay.
So. Oh,
what he really wants to ask you, Benji, is does he do anything for your gaydar? That's what he asked John Hamer last night, and now he's going to ask you.
It's funny that you mentioned that because Matt and I have had long conversations about how gay Randy is, and if I had like a scan from like beep 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 to like a screaming alarm, you'd be there, dude. You'd be DEFCON 5, definitely, Randy. I think you just got to unlock something. Something's caged inside.
I just need to suck a dick. That's all I need to do. Get it over with.
Sure. I mean, I think that would probably do it. That would do you in for sure. But it's not gay unless you back into it. That's what they say. So,
but is it gay if it's a 3-way?
Is there a woman involved, or is it 2 men?
No, 2 dudes.
You mean 3 dudes?
3 dudes. So it's just a beautiful trinity of love, of male love. I love it. Yeah, I think anybody could enjoy it.
That sounds great.
Hole's a hole, Randy. Hole's a hole.
Just all don't right. Steam your vagina, Randy.
That's yeah, awesome. I was thinking of that as well.
So, Benji, tell us about your your tattoo behind your ear.
Okay. Well, that tattoo is of an asterisk, which is the exact asterisk that they put on my church records when, after having confessed to an ecclesiastical leader that I was attracted to men and had some sort of physical and romantic connection to them. And they started putting that in a few years back. I think it was back in 2010 or 2011 when they implemented the asterisk program. And they basically
there's an asterisk program.
It was implemented earlier than that, though.
As they say, the prophetic process was that they implemented this program to protect their asses in the event that the very few people that potentially claim to be homosexual in the church would not be able to serve the youth of the church, anyone under the age of 18, without supervision in the event that they were child molesters as well.
Yeah, because gay people are equivalent with pedophiles, right? I mean, that's scientifically proven.
We're basically one step away from, like, just denying the Holy Ghost. So, you know, we're right in that smorgasbord of just, like, mortal sin. That's good. That's fun.
So we're bringing Benji on, since we're adding infants right and left. We figured we'd give him a tryout on a Benji. SmackDown.
Only infants that are more famous and better than us. Right. Those are the only ones that we're adding anymore.
Yeah, we're the original 6 schmucks.
Yeah. We start with Brother Jake. We go to a John Hamer, and we're just scaling up from there.
Right. So now the only way to go was like a where are you, Ben? You're like a Mormon B-list celebrity. Is that?
I would say ex-Mormon B-list pseudo-celeb for sure. I'll take D-list.
I'd say ex-Mormon A celebrity, regular Mormon B celebrity.
I would say that if we added Benji as an infant, as our second gay infant, We would have the Benji bump.
There'd be a Benji,
Benji
bump.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. The John DeLynn Benji bump? Is that what you guys are referring to? Yeah.
It's hard to compete with a John DeLynn bump.
Yeah.
That'll never be surpassed. Let's finish this up.
Before that, I want to ask, where do you live, Benji? Do you live in San Fernando Valley?
No, I live in United Airlines Club Lounge. I travel 46 weekends out of the year, so I'm gone quite a bit. I usually stay in an apartment in my hometown in Redlands, but I'm house hunting currently for Palm Springs just to kind of gay it up a little bit more. So
you're from Redlands?
Oh my God. I am, dude. Inland Empire 909 represent.
Have you heard of Hacienda Heights,
Randy?
Of course I have.
All right. Dude, Randy, you are now editing this episode, Randy. You are the one with the scissors.
I've never talked to Benji Schwimmer before.
You can probably talk to him other times. I would imagine.
Yeah.
So here we go.
He's going to convert you anyway. You're halfway there. You just need one other guy.
That's why I want to hang out with him. I want to see. I'm curious because he's really sexy. Yeah.
So you're going to hear – here's a little teaser. You'll hear more from Benji on Infants on Throws in the future on a project that he's working on with us. So that's why he's on now, because we're getting ready to work on that project a little bit. So there's a little teaser.
As soon as we wrap this up.
Once we wrap this, yeah. Yes. All right. So
not to be all Tom on you guys or anything.
Gwyneth Paltrow steams her lady parts. Yeah, that's more than you probably wanted to know on a Thursday morning. The 42-year-old actress is always in the headlines for her bizarre dieting and exercise tactics, but this may take the cake. In true Gwyneth form, she doesn't shy away from what she likes to do and comments on this as nonchalantly as she does when she tells us we should take $250,000 vacations. She admits that she undergoes regular Mugwort V-Steam treatments at the Tikkun Spa in Santa Monica, which cleanses her private parts and uterus and provides an energetic release. You sit on what is essentially a mini throne.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.